Now I was born as a rebel, making trouble for the devil. Take this gangbang shit to a whole nother level. Can you feel me now? Homies in every city, definition of power. Players, are you with me? See, the war is the prophecy, survival is the strategy. Rest in peace to my comrades, best to see. Organize the streets of time. Yeah, these devil petrified of a nigga in his right mind. And tell us that we hopeless and hellbound. It's for the brothers in penitentiary, jail down. I got you in my heart till the day I die. Think of the damage we could do if we wasn't high. Can you picture me low? It's a thug's wrath. Political contracts and bloodbaths. From a dude who pour up in the rocket, so they got you. I never let them stop me. The struggle continues.
I gotta get out of town, see I done shot another dick. Nigga be rolling trips to keep his mind on sick. They check him for roll.
I do it.
Same old shit, just a different day.
Black power, black power, black power, more black power to my people. This your brother, soldier in arms, comrade in battle, in the battle. It's Sean Saddam Kweli. I'm happy to be able to broadcast live with you right here in the hells and smells of North America. And for me, this is a privilege. It's a joy. It's always an esteemed honor and pleasure to be able to talk to my sisters, my brothers, and some others from this bold revolutionary radio broadcast, Black Power Radio. Radio broadcast designed to infuse black people and oppressed people with the spirit to get up and move and to be conscious and to change our condition. And so as we do every Monday night, we come to you strong. And so as we always say, we won't be long, but we must be strong. We're going to be strong as we're pushing forward on the platform of black nationalism, pushing forth on revolutionary nationalism, pan-Africanism, pushing forth on a do-for-self principle founded by that great, great patriarch and warrior, the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, pushing forward on the great principles of organization by the Kulu fighters, or what's known as the Mau Mau, pushing forward on the shoulders of some great brothers and sisters who have come down the line of divine and through our ancestry as a people. We give thanks to the one God, and we bear witness that regardless of land, label, or language, that there is but one God who answers to many different names. We give thanks to our ancestors, our great ancestors, who were the mothers and fathers of civilization, the first on the planet, the original, aboriginal, man and woman. We give thanks to all of those who, even when we became captives, were captured at the terms of an interpretation, an old wicked slave trader by the name of John Hawkins and others, and those who captained that ship, Jesus of Lubeck and the Nina and all of that, that hell. We had some of those who would resist, and we had those who were freedom fighters and those who came even when we got here on the shores of North America, who said they would not go down as slaves without resistance, like you saw in the 12 years of slaves and 12 years of a slave, and you saw in the Django. But we had the African spirit of resistance, which what birthed the panther coming up out of Africa, being a royal symbol of fighting and a royal symbol of battle. And that panther had made its way to the shores of North America. Them demons didn't know they were bringing some panthers over here on the boat. They knew they were bringing some builders and some shakers, but they didn't know they were bringing some straight-up warriors from our clans and from our nation on the boat. And so the panther made its way here to the shores of North America. And everywhere that those demons tried to set up plantations and tried to set up orders and hierarchy press, We resist all along the line, all throughout the way. And even those who may have gotten certain faiths or walks of life, they may have been beat down, they still fought. So people like Nat Turner fought. And you had those like Denmark Vesey who fought. You had those like Toussaint Louverture who fought. You had those like Buchmann who fought and Dessalines who fought. You had those who fought on here like Sister Harriet Tubman and the Underground Railroad. You had those great ones who fought to resist oppression. And they continued to resist the oppression as it continued down the wheels of time. We organized in groups like the Deacons for Defense. We organized in groups like the UNIA. We organized in groups like the Morris Science Temple. We organized in groups like the Nation of Islam. We organized in groups like the Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. Black Panther Party from Lowndes County, Alabama. We organized in groups like the Black Liberation Army. We organized in the Black Church. We organized all over the place. And we're still organizing today. Why? Because oppression is still here. Black people, there's more black men, and we have to include women in that. There's more black people in jail now, incarcerated, in the hells of North America, than all of the time. Everybody who was counted as slaves in the transatlantic slave trade, there's more black men and women in jail, incarcerated right now, than the whole time of everybody who was in servitude, slavery on the plantation houses of America. And so that means that the modern day slave trade and the modern day warehousing has become the penitentiaries of America. The prison industrial complexes have become the modern slave warehouse manufacturing centers. And it's clear if you read in the Constitution, when it talks about, you get to talking about 13 and 14 amendments and all of that, that supposedly abolished your slavery. But when you read in the fine print, or you keep reading along those lines in the same paragraph, it says, it talks about the abolishment, I'm paraphrasing, but it talks about the abolishment of slavery unless a crime is committed. And unless you have had some kind of offense, and whereas once you make the offense or once you in their eyes commit a crime, they have the due process or the duly process of being able to label you and make you a slave. And so the new slave warehousing manufacture centers are the prison industrial complexes where once you were on the plantation as the penitentiary, and you had to work in the cotton fields as a people, or we worked in the tobacco fields as a people, or we just maintained the status of the slave master. In today's time, with an industrial society and a mechanized society and an information highway, a technological society, today your plantation is the penitentiaries. Your plantation is the jails. You're also, and we are also, wage slaves, or what you call wage labor, where you have to fight and scrap with others on the capitalistic plantation for a buck, for a dollar, for 50 cents. You have to scrap to get something off of the plate from capitalistic America. Plantation still exists and slavery still exists in North America and the Americas. We are not free. And so knowing that we are not free, it is duly incumbent upon us that now we have to organize in the same fashion that Nat Turner organized, and organized in the same fashion that Denmark Vesey organized, and organized in the same fashion that Shirley Chisholm organized, and organized in the same fashion of Queen Mother Moore. We still got some organizing to do, family. Don't have time to sit back and relax on our laurels and sit back talking about praise be to the veterans on Veterans Day and thank God for those who served our country. Hell no. Hell no. I say respectfully, every black soldier who fought in America's wars, you're fighting on the wrong side of the battle. You didn't fight to get us free because we're not free. What you fought for, either directly or indirectly, God bless your hearts, you fought for U.S. imperialism. And you fought to keep the rich rich and the poor poor. You're fighting a white man's war who is the rich elite in the world. You're not fighting for black liberation, or you didn't fight for black liberation, or you didn't fight for a real sovereignty or a government that we can call our own and control. You fought to maintain the world order of white supremacy. And so even though we give respect to all warriors and we have no disrespect to our family members, we got to tell you, you're fighting on the wrong side, or you fought on the wrong side. How can you go to liberate somebody in Korea, or liberate somebody in Japan, or liberate somebody somewhere else, and your people here in the hells and smells of North America are not liberated? In fact, are more deaf, dumb, and blind than what they were back in 1960, 1950, 1940. We're more deaf, dumb, and blind as a people today in 2013 than any time in history. But you want to fight a war on foreign soil. Fight a war of foreign aggression on foreign soil. And so, hell, when black people first ran into the Chinese and others in the fields, they would say no, same, same, to the black man and black woman. They'd ask as best they could, why are you fighting in the U.S. white troops company? You're not even being treated as an equal citizen. They would say same, same. They would capture some of us during those campaigns of war. And they wouldn't do us like they did the white U.S. soldiers, care the black soldiers, and release many of the black soldiers. But they also let them know that if you came here again fighting with this company and fighting for this domination and fighting with this U.S. imperialism, that we would kill you behind. And that's righteous. You have no reason to fight in the white man's wars, black man and black woman, and fight for capitalistic greed. You got to tell these rich ruling elites to send their children to the front lines and fight for their own self-interest. You're a poor black man and black woman, most of you in the hells and most of us in the hells of North America trying to make it. And so we got to fight for ourselves. And so we thank all of our freedom fighters on this day. We thank all of our political prisoners on this day, all of ours in the Black Liberation Army, and all of ours in the San Francisco 8, all of ours who have put their lives on the line for black liberation and don't get their just due. Don't even get an article in a newspaper. Don't get a clip or nothing on the TV screen. Don't even get a Facebook post or a tweet. We are thankful for all of our veterans in the liberation struggle from top to bottom who have helped this cause and helped us, whether they established programs or carried arms to keep us safe. We are thankful. And we tell you, don't forget those who made that sacrifice. If while you're lighting your fireworks or waving your flag, you should be waving your red, black, and green instead of your red, white, and blue. As we talk tonight on some real talk on some black laws for black people, and we were scheduled to hear from our brother, that great son of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey, that Dr. Marcus Garvey Jr. But our brother had some issues, couldn't get on, so we're going to get him back on. Hopefully next show or two, we'll have him right back on. But the beat goes on, and we will hear in our second quarter from our national chairman, a former, pardon me, national chairman, I'm so used to saying that, but our former national chairman and our president of Black Lawyers, Fraternity Malik Zulu Shabazz, who has been on this case with Brother Benjamin Crump, who was the attorneys for the Trayvon Martin family. And he's working now with the family of Kendrick Johnson and Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Black Lawyers for Justice to find out what happened to our young brother who was killed there in Georgia and his organs were missing. And I came across a story online where another young man I'm going to try to get his name here for you. Another young man was found murdered, killed, and his organs were missing. Now, what's going on in America where these young black teenagers are being killed and their organs are being taken from them? What is going on? Is there some kind of market, underground market, that's being put forth? Or y'all got to tell me. Maybe I'm missing something. Or maybe this is something that's old. I know during the days of servitude slavery that they would take the sex organs of the black man. They would castrate the black man, and they would pass the, you know, they'd pass the organ around to each other, keep it as souvenirs. You know, they call it, Dr. Francis Quest Welsing called it penis envy. They would have penis envy, you know, and other kinds of envy, and they would pass it around themselves. But let me give you this. Now, this just came out on the 23rd of October, and this young brother was an aspiring model, and he was found dead outside Las Vegas with all of his organs missing. I'm not just making this up. I mean, this is crazy. Yeah, it says his name is Ryan Singleton, 24 years old, aspiring model. And once again, we're back in Georgia, okay? Left Atlanta in early July and headed off to follow his dreams of becoming an actor in Hollywood. While on his way to California, Singleton made stops in New Mexico, Arizona, and Las Vegas before going missing in Baker, California. He went to Las Vegas during a weekend visit and became missing in Baker, California on the way back, said Flowers, somebody named Flowers. That's his mother, Miss Flowers. Singleton's body was discovered on September 21st by a couple of joggers running in the desert near Baker, right between Los Angeles and Vegas. It says police immediately contacted Flowers and that not only was her son dead, but his organs were missing. There were no organs. He said, ma'am, there were no eyes, there were no heart, there were no lungs, there were no liver, there were no kidneys, said Flowers' mother. A spokesman for the San Bernardino County Coroner's Office told Fox 5, there is no word on cause of death for Singleton. However, the body was badly decomposed, and they attribute the organs to animals. They say maybe animals did it. And so the mother said, despite the work on her son's case, she does not believe that her son's organs were tampered with by animals. She says, I don't know of any animal that comes to a body and just picks out certain parts of the body. I don't think it was animal activity at all. Okay? She finally told the news station that Singleton left Metro Atlanta early July and traveled to Los Angeles in a rented car, drove past New Mexico, Arizona, and lastly, Las Vegas. His car was found a few miles from Baker in Death Valley, California. He was last seen in a gas station in July near Baker's body found a month later. And San Bernardino County Coroner's Office has not disclosed when their investigation will be closed. So once again, right on the heels of Brother Kendrick Johnson coming out of Georgia, this young man, 24 years old, Ryan Singleton, organs are missing. I'm talking about eyes and everything. And same thing that happened, if you can remember, as we've been telling you week to week about what happened to Brother Kendrick Johnson. Now, Kendrick Johnson, for those who may not know of his story, he is the son of Kenneth and Jacqueline Johnson. They come out of Valdosta, Georgia, and they believe and they feel in their hearts that their son was murdered. He's 17 years old, young black male, once again, murdered. Authorities there claimed that the death was an accident. And his parents won in court to have his body dug up in June, and they got a second independent autopsy performed. And they were not happy with the results of the second autopsy, because that second autopsy revealed that this young 17-year-old boy's brain, his heart, his lungs, his liver, and other viscera were missing from his body. And old newspapers, complete with ads from JCPenney and others, were stuffed in this young man's body. Y'all got to hear me good. A private investigator, a private farming pathologist who conducted the second autopsy, was reported saying, "I'm not sure at this point who did not return the organs to the body. But I know when we got the body, the organs were not there." So standard practice is to remove organs during autopsy to help determine cause of death, but they are always returned. Always returned before burial. The fact that the organs are missing only makes the entire case even more suspicious. And of course, his parents found that revelation sickening. And they say, "We have been let down again. When we buried Kendrick, we thought we were burying Kendrick, not half of Kendrick." His mother said she just couldn't believe that her son's body had been stuffed with old newspapers like he was a garbage can. The disturbing turn in the already suspect case has fueled skepticism about Lowndes County Sheriff's conclusion that Kendrick suffocated after he got stuck in the wrestling mat while reaching for a sneaker in the gym at Lowndes County High School. And so right there, once again, Valdosta, Georgia, Kendrick Johnson, organs gone, blood all over the wall in the gym, all over shoes in the gym, and they tell the parents, and sheriffs and investigators tell his parents it was from him trying to reach his shoes as he jumped inside of a gym mat. Now, if you've seen the pictures online, these are tightly rolled gym mats that it's hard for the smallest of us to even jump in and go all the way down to get your shoe, which doesn't even make sense in the first place. But even if that was the case, I mean, all he would have to do is push the gym mat over and the shoe would be right there. And so there are things going on, brothers and sisters, with our youth and with our young black males across the nation. Valdosta, Georgia, and a young man who was found dead right outside of Las Vegas and his organs missing. Now, somebody knows what's going on with these organs, and somebody knows what's happening to these young boys. And it's important to be vigilant about the protection of your children and be vigilant about the protection of the youth. It's important as new Black Panthers that we be concerned about what's going on with our youth, boys and girls, male and female. It is important that we take the steps to protect our young coming out of these schools and walking down the street and playing in their yard and playing in our yard. It is very important that we risk life and limb to protect our greatest assets, which is our future, our young boys and girls. This is crazy as hell. And I want to make sure that I open up as we continue on this and continue on more. In the name of that great, bold, bald-headed black man, who's 100% black man, who told you that his purpose was to give our enemies hell from the cradle to the grave, we call him the Black Power General, the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad. And we're thankful to him for his service to us as he made his spiritual and earthly transition from this world in 2001. But he laid a foundation that we stand on and that we're able to push forward on in cases like this where we know something is wrong, but you can't put your finger on it. And we're thankful for our big brother who we'll hear from tonight, who stood and took the torch after the Black Power General made his transition in 2001. And he carried that torch all the way up into this year, early this year of 2013, talking about the Attorney General, Attorney at War, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. He'll be on with us tonight. And we also thank our brother and warrior and friend and great Pan-Africanist, that man who started there in Dallas, Texas, bringing the likes of Dr. John Henry Clark and bringing the Leonard Jeffries and bringing the Dr. Khalid Al-Mansours and bringing the Khalid Muhammads and Louis Farrakhans and bringing those types of thinkers and minds to Dallas in the early days. We're thankful to our great national chairman who is standing now and standing strong and pushing the banner of pantheism forward, our great chairman, our brother, Minister Hashim Nzinga. I just wanted to say that. We're standing on the shoulders of some great men and women. And so we got to give credit where credit is due. And all of you who are listening, and if it's your first time listening or second time listening, we want you to tell a neighbor and tell a friend, this will be a radio broadcast unlike any you have ever heard in your life. This is not like turning on some Sean Hannity radio show or turning on some of anybody. This is Black Power Radio. And Black Power is the ideology that has been forcibly taken off of the agenda. The U.S. government used counterintelligence program under J. Edgar Hoover to make you want to be afraid of what they call the Black Messiah or Black nationalism or that which is you as a man or woman in your own Black community controlling your own politics and controlling your own economics and controlling your own land and controlling your own economy and your own autonomy. Black nationalism means you got control. It don't mean that you go to a glorified shower curtain waiting on some benevolent white man to carry your vote through and hopefully represent you somewhere in the Senate or represent you in the Congress. No, black nationalism means that black people organize on the issues that we believe in and we do for self and we control for self and we're not influenced by any outside influence that does not have our best interest. No alliances with any weakness or wickedness that would rob us of our self-worth and our destiny. You should be a black nationalist. And you should understand what black nationalism is, as the great Minister Malcolm X talked about it, and the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey talked about it, and the great Honorable Elijah Muhammad talked about it. You should be a Pan-Africanist, as the great Kwame Ture, formerly Stokely Carmichael, was, and so many others. You got to understand what this new Black Panther Party is about and what it's like. And you got to stop listening to Fox News and CNN and these other stations that don't mean you no good and already don't have positive programs as it is. You got to stop letting them tell you what they believe the new Black Panther Party is about. They don't tell you about all them secret societies they in and all them clubs they in, running around butt naked in coffins and kissing on other men. They don't talk about none of that stuff. They don't talk about none of the freakish or licentious behavior they participate in. But they will get paid millions of dollars to slander that great new Black Panther Party that they know will liberate the minds and hearts of black people, because that's what your enemy's supposed to do. They're not supposed to say one good word about Shah Saddam Kweli. They're not supposed to say one good word about Minister Hashim Nzinga, our national chairman. They're not supposed to say one good word about any of us. Because it's propaganda, and it's controlled by the beast, and it's controlled by the system. And so why would they program you to believe in yourself and to see positive black images and to respect your woman and to uplift your community and take charge of your babies when you see your babies getting killed in the streets of America and their organs being snatched out their bodies. Why would CNN show you that? Why would Universal Pictures show you that? Why would any of them give you that and they know that you would take that kind of idea? You should be outraged right now, still mad at Sister Ayanna Jones, who was killed by the Detroit Pig Department as they were serving, so-called serving, the warrant or what have you, and shot the baby on the couch dead. You should still be mad about that. You should still be mad about Trayvon Martin and that no good beast George Zimmerman gets off with a not guilty, and they thought about charging Trayvon Martin in his own death. You should still be mad about Oscar Grant, who was on the ground in a prone position and was no threat to any officer anywhere in the world, and his head was blown off by a lying officer who said he was reaching for his taser, no good bastard. You got things to be mad about, and of course we're mad about an institution of America that has miseducated us and made us hate ourselves and hate our blackness and hate to see another black man or black woman. And since I hate myself or we hate ourselves, I want to kill myself. We got to be mad about the black-on-black violence and the black-on-black self-hate, but we know where it stems from. And when you stop the root of a flood, you stop the daggone water from flooding out. You got to be mad about some things. Some of you got this thing twisted. You think that because we're angry or because you hear angry rhetoric from some of our members or angry statements from some of our membership that that means we're haters, or that if you get angry that that means you're a hater or you have to be some type of extremist. Oh, no, not at all. Doesn't mean that. God gets angry. If you believe in God, God gets angry, whatever name you use. If you use Jehovah, if you use Allah, or if you use Akulu Kulu, or whatever you use, that God gets angry. That God says that he gets angry, or it gets angry, or whatever, they get angry. And if you made in the image and likeness of God, and you are that particle and participle walking around on the earth, then when you get mad, when you see injustice, that's God getting mad. That's the goddess getting mad. That's the Elohim getting mad. That's the divine council getting mad. When you see Kendrick Johnson laid out in a gym mat, and you know ain't no way in hell that a lying, wicked demon, devil, sheriff is telling the truth on how our young brother died. You gotta get mad when you read about a Renisha McBride, who her back of her head was blown off just the other day. Just the other day, to Renisha McBride. Now, some of you, you ain't been keeping up. You don't know what's going on, so I got to tell you. Renisha McBride over there in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, up there in Dearborn Heights, Michigan, said, and she's 19 years old. Let me get to the facts on this. 19 years old and unarmed, and was on the porch of a Dearborn Heights home, and she was seeking some assistance. She wasn't trying to pry through no windows. She wasn't trying to come through the doors. She was seeking some assistance. Had an auto accident. Car was, you know, in some bad shape, and they believe her phone had went out, and she didn't have phone, so she was trying to get some assistance being there in the area, and knocks on the door of a house, and they tell me that she was actually turned around, like walking around and, you know, walking back away from the porch. I guess turned around to leave. And no good demon blows her head off. Blows her head off. Okay, now some of the reports say that he put it to her face. And he claims that the gun goes off accidentally. This is Sister Renisha McBride, your sister. Imagine if she was in your family, your immediate family. She's in our nation, our universal family, black people. But imagine if this was your sister. Imagine if this was your cousin, your blood cousin. Imagine if this was your mother. Imagine, because it is that deep. We are a family, and when it happens to one, it happens to all. She's disoriented. She's not from there. She doesn't have a cell phone. She needs some help, and she gets shot in the face. A no-good bastard puts his shotgun in her face and pulls the trigger and blows her face off just because she needed help. Now, these are the kind of things that when you're talking about extremism, these are the extreme things that make a black man and black woman stand up and be extreme in certain cases. These are the kind of things that make you have to say enough is a damn enough, because all you're doing out there is you picketing and you marching and you chanting. You picketing and singing, marching and chanting. But you ain't doing nothing to put no heat on nobody to stop them and stop those like them from even trembling at the thought of putting a shotgun to the face of a 19-year-old black woman who just needed some help and was trying to get back home to her loved ones. See, it's that kind of message and that kind of spirit that got to be set forth by the black man and strong black woman in North America. That's why you got to have and have new Black Panthers, but hell, even some of y'all punk the hell out and scared to damn death. Some of you weak ones, you're scared to damn death, and you got to get strong. And as long as I'm the National Chief of Staff, you're behind, we'll get stronger. You're going to be up out of here. Don't got time to play when deep beasts and demons are blowing the face off of our youngsters, where the courts are saying it's okay to run up on our youngins like Trayvon Martin, who's just walking home from the store after getting his family, or his brother, some Skittles and some iced tea, just some snacks to share, and then some self-appointed neighborhood watchman does more than watch, and he runs up on our young brother and kills our young brother. Talking about ain't no struggle. Obama's in office and ain't no struggle. This stuff has gotten intensified since Obama been in office. It's gotten worse, I'd even say, since Obama been in office, because most you Negroes done went to sleep. All you wanted was a black man to be in the White House, and so, hell, the mind of white supremacy is so sharp in wickedness, they say, hell, I give you one right in the White House. It'll appease you Negroes and keep you Negroes quiet from waking up and having some kind of consciousness. You forgot about the words of J. Edgar Hoover, where J. Edgar Hoover said there would be no black messiah as long as he could help it, unless they created one, unless they gave you one. Well, damn it, they gave you one. They gave you a manufactured boot-licking Negro who's a Zionist and a puppet right there for you. And most of you, even some of you in the Black Power movement, you voted for this Negro and deserve what the hell is happening. You gotta be strong today in North America. Gotta be strong today in Africa. You gotta be strong today in the Caribbean. You gotta be strong today in the spirit of your ancestors. You watching 12 years of a slave, you know our ancestors are not happy. They have not gotten their just due. There has not been the repair of the damage for all of those lives lost, that strange fruit that Billie Holiday sung about so sweet and so blissfully. What about those lives? What about the lives of those little babies who were cut out of the stomachs of pregnant black women and a nasty boot heel stomped on the fetus's head and stomped it to death? What about those lives? What about that energy? What about that spirit? Where did it go? Where is the energy for justice in North America? Where is the spirit and the passion for that which is right in North America amongst black people, Or are we drinking too much fluoride water out the tap and you just too weak and you acquiesce to the conditions? Or we've been beat down so bad that you say they hit us with COINTELPRO, they hit us with all kind of other little programs, and you think we can't win. You better study your history, because there's no time in history where those who were determined, whether outnumbered, outgunned, or whatever, did not receive victory, even if it was a protracted struggle. Hell, even in your scriptures, David conquered Goliath. The meek or the weak can conquer the large giant if organized and with the proper faith and the proper tools to use. Well, who going to conquer this Goliath called the murderer of Renisha McBride, the unpaid debt nation for the transatlantic slave trade? Who pays the debt for young Trayvon Martin in the courts of America, says it's okay, not guilty, go about your way? Who pays the debt for our young brother and aspiring model, 24 years old, who was killed right outside of Las Vegas and his organs are missing? I'm telling you, revolution is the only solution for black people, in the words of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul-Muhammad. Got to have complete constructive change and cannot have the same old, doing the same thing over and over again and expecting a whole bunch of different results, and all we're doing is singing, chanting, and marching and having a meeting here and having a meeting there and giving a speech there. Hell no. We got to organize and we must agitate. That's what's going on with everybody around me. Anybody around me, we're agitating and we're pushing for change. You're scared of the dope boys out there. You got to be able to turn that criminal mentality into a revolutionary mentality. You can't praise the Black Panther Party and be scared to go to the so-called street tribes or gang members out there. Those are the same brothers and sisters that Huey P. Newton went to. Same brothers and sisters that Bobby Seale and them went to. Same brothers and sisters that Angela Davis and them went to. They went to civilize the lumping. They went to revolutionize the lumping or the poor brother and sister on the block. Well, hell, the government put crack cocaine in your community. The CIA flew it over here in planes and drove it on trains, and you ain't got none of that. They sent it right in the community to neutralize us, and there's been no offensive. There's been no, pardon me, defensive. There's been no defensive against that offensive that assaulted our community. There's been no really strong defensive against the white supremacist brainwashing and miseducation of so-called Negroes, Carter G. Woodson teachers, against our babies and us. Some of us are still trying to be the white man's nigger in a dressed-up way in 2013. So I implore you very quickly to take part in the new Black Panther Party decolonization program, the new Black Panther Party re-education program, the new Black Panther Party rejuvenation program. You got to become a new African. You got to be made into a new black man and black woman. You can't run around in 2013 still being a slave and a buck dancing sambo for the white man, scratching where you don't itch and laughing when ain't nothing funny. You got to be a new black man and a new black woman that is determined to do for self and climb up out of the condition. The Bible say it like this. It say, behold, it say the pale horse. Behold, that means look. Don't get all tripped up because it said behold. That means look. Look at the pale horse. And it says everywhere that that rider went or that horse went, death followed closely behind. Well, why did that scripture say pale horse? Because that's an analogy. That's something that's pointing you to something. Doesn't mean it's talking about a horse in specific. A horse represents transportation. It represents motion. It represents power. Behold the pale horse. Look at the white power it's telling you. And everywhere that that power or that horse went, death followed closely behind. You can see that all the time. Ever since the earliest days of the transatlantic slave trade on down into the Shriner setup of the Ku Klux Klan and all of that. Everywhere white supremacy has gone in the world, it has destroyed land, air, and sea. The so-called Indian, the red man and red woman, are almost completely wiped out because white supremacy wanted to conquer their land and put smallpox in their blankets and got them hooked on drugs and took over their lands. Same thing happened to the Chicano people. Hooked them on drugs, took over the land. Same thing happened to the yellow man. Hooked them on drugs, took over the land. Well, in the black community, there's a liquor store on every corner. And the government makes sure there's a dope push on every corner as well, too. Why? Because it's the same plan that was in place in 1555 and beyond, that you get them hooked on drugs. You get them hooked on carcinogens. You get them hooked on things that take their minds away from the reality, and you take their land. That's right. You were here first, too. You better read about the OMACs. You better read about your people who were here on this side and this soil before even the so-called European got here. And when the so-called European got here, there was still black men and Africans who were guiding these white folks around the land. Why? Because we had been here. In the state of Kentucky, there's a man named York. He sits at the waterfront, a black man who guided Lewis and Clark and them around in the wilderness because he had already been here. And they forced these captives to show them the lay of the land because they didn't know how to navigate. They were not able to deal with the rough terrains. They were not able to use the proper methods of fire. They didn't know all that. It came from black people. We are the greatest people who have ever lived, but we are dead to the knowledge of ourselves, and we are dead to the knowledge of our cultures, and we are dead to a real sense of spirituality, because everything that we have has been given to us by individuals who oppressed us and only wanted to use us as slaves. We're being remade, black man and black woman. We're being reborn. We're being reformed and reshaped through the disciplinary process of this new Black Panther Party, which is standing men and women up all over the world who no longer have fear of a racist, brutal police department, who no longer have fear of a pointy hat-wearing Ku Klux Klan grand wizard, who no longer have fear of some government propped-up dope boy on the corner who don't know a knowledge of himself. But now you know a knowledge of yourself and your history and your culture, and you go to make war on a society that's set up to destroy your people. That's black power. That's black power. And whenever you can set up black power, because that same book, Revelations, talk about a black horse that comes through to destroy what was on the white horse. I ain't doing nothing but preaching to you some Bible, Reverend. I'm preaching to you the way that Nat Turner was preaching to you. That black horse, that rider came through and destroyed what was on the white horse. Why don't you hear this on a Sunday morning talk? Because as you watch 12 Years a Slave, and as you watch Django, and as you watch Roots, you recognize how religion was used to make us a better tool and a fool, as taught by our enemies in Africa and our original areas. Our spirituality was used to keep us whole and intact and keep us together and keep us in tune with the ethos and keep us in tune with the universe and keep us in tune with what was happening in the world. But that no good beast took our spiritualities. They carved out our statues, took away the noses, the broad noses and features on our statues and our paintings, took away our libraries and burned down many of our libraries and stole the books, and they reinvented the stories, or what they call revised the stories, and gave the stories back to you in a way that made you worship the white supremacist, or white supremacy made you worship white images. So it can say plain as day in the book that the Jesus had hair like lamb's wool, feet the color of brass burned in an oven, and then they present you with a picture of Michelangelo's cousin, blue-eyed, blonde-haired, stringy-haired, pale complexion, Jesus Christ. Okay, white supremacy all over the place. And so these are things that we're warned against. And we also are warned against, I want to really tell you this announcement, we're going to war against the small hat, Ashkenazi Jewish exploitation of the holidays of upcoming Christmas, so-called Christmas, knowing now that it didn't have nothing to do with no Santa Claus. And they don't celebrate that at all, those capitalistic exploiters of our community. And they want you to invest all this money into their businesses and all this money into this emotional feeling of doing what's right and supporting a holiday that they view as a business venture. We're going to talk to you about that. And our national chairman is going to come on within the next week and talk to you about that. I don't even want to really even get into all of it. There's all kind of articles on it and all kind of facts on it. Okay, but you know, like I know, Santa Claus ain't got nothing to do with no Jesus at all. Where in the hell are you sitting your babies on the lap of some old ragged white man with a beard talking about ho, ho, ho? You don't know that the red and the white that's on the uniform of Satan's claws, or what they term Santa Claus, means the blood. It's the blood that was fought in the snow. You don't know all that. You don't know, when you're not preaching about how the Bible condemns putting up a tree in the house and calling it a pagan practice and tells you don't follow the way of the pagans. You ain't saying that, Christian preacher. You ain't saying that even some of you scared of deaf Muslims out there, some of you Hebrews out there, some of you spiritual Africans out there. You're not telling the truth out there. So we as black nationalists and revolutionaries, we got to tell you the truth. That even if you were there to talk to that great revolutionary black messiah known to the world in Greek as Jesus, in Arabic as Isa and Yusuf, in other languages, that he would not support that. He would not support you taking your hard-earned monies and flooding the Jewish diamond industry and flooding these so-called bankers and making them rich, putting lights all over your house and running up your gas bill in the name of some paganism so that the white man can capitalize off of you and stay rich and you get poor all the way past January into February. We're going to talk to you about this upcoming boycott that's coming up that's going to be strategic so that we can reevaluate what we're doing with our dollars. Reevaluate. If you're going to give a gift to somebody in the name of God, give it to your mama. Give it to your daddy. Give it to those who gave birth to you like we're supposed to do on our born days or our birthdays. Give it to those who appreciate it. Don't give it in the name of a lie. You can give a gift anytime, but don't give it in the name of a lie where people sit back in offices and wait to make big capital and money off of you and don't give you a damn thing in return. We want to drive all these capitalistic businesses up in the black community. We want to set up our own plebiscite and make it to where we control what happens with our own dollars. It's fine to give gifts. It's fine to be sharing. It's fine to be caring. But don't give it to some rich white banker or some old Ashkenazi small hat so-called Jew to make money off of, and they don't even believe what you believe. They don't even follow how you follow. They ain't even practicing what you practicing. They're just trying to get paid. Oh, yes, brothers and sisters, we got to make war out here, and we got to know that we're fighting in a war out here. There's a war and an assault on black life, and it's been that way since the earliest days from 1555, since that first ship that was incidentally called Jesus of Lubeck, that old slave trader John Hawkins had the nerve to name his ship, the good ship Jesus, and had the skull and crossbones flying up on his ship, and he's bringing you over here to be a slave and be sold off like a horse or a dog in an auction. But that being said, we got to make war out here. We got to make war for the minds and hearts of our people. We got to make war for the liberation and salvation of our minds, liberation and salvation of our institutions. We got to protect the black business out here. Black businesses are drying up all around New York, drying up all in D.C. They're drying up all in California. Black, where can you go really and find the positive black businesses in 2013? Do you think this is by mistake? Do you think that this gentrification effort that's happening across America is not directly affecting the enterprise of black business? What do I mean when I say gentrification? Gentrification is the process of other cultures or white people in particular coming into an quote-unquote urban setting or urban area and pushing the blacks on the outskirts, where they would take over the property. In many cities, the so-called projects or the housing developments are being torn down, and they will tear them down or they will move the residents out, and they will redevelop what was once inhabited by the blacks, and they will set the pricing and the prices at a standard where most of the blacks cannot afford to come in unless you make a certain income. And so the whites and others come in, or bougies come in, and the blacks are either put together in one little encampment and project, or they're pushed to the outskirts of the city. That's called gentrification. Same thing that's happening in Harlem that used to be the black mecca of North America. Gentrification all up and down Harlem and 125th Street. They're putting pressure all on the black vendors and all on the businesses, where now it's hard to even find yourself in there without seeing McDonald's and without seeing this corporation and that corporation, and they're pushing your black businesses away. Washington, D.C. isn't even Chocolate City no more. It's right about 50% black, and it might have even fallen down to 49-something percent black. Ain't even Chocolate City no more. Now it's milk chocolate in Washington, D.C. due to gentrification. And this is having a direct effect on what's going on in black business. And speaking of Washington, D.C., of course, as I told you, we're having our big brother on, president of Black Lawyers for Justice, who is based there in Washington, D.C., and we're going to ask him about some of these things happening with our young black boys in particular and their organs being taken out. We were talking about Brother Kendrick Johnson, as I told you, Kendrick Johnson, whose organs were taken out. And we're going to ask him about Sister Renita McBride right there in Detroit, whose face was blown off as she was trying to get some help after having an automobile accident. And even our young brother, 24 years old, right outside of Las Vegas, who his body was found and his organs too taken away, and the mother says she don't believe it. So let's welcome to Black Power Radio our brother and the attorney at war and attorney general. Now, you all know him well, so don't act like you know stranger to him. He is your brother, and he's on the front line with a career in law. He is a practicing attorney, a Howard University graduate, voted Young Lawyer of the Year, which means he has a hell of an academic mind, a hell of a legal mind, and a hell of a political mind in general. This man has been on the campaign of many battles and many fronts. He is a student of the Honorable Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, and you've known him as our national chairman all the way from 2001 up until recently here in 2013. Help me to bring back and welcome back to Black Power Radio our big brother and soldier and friend, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. Welcome to the radio broadcast, sir. Black Power.
Okay, Black Power, my dear brother, Brother Sean, Minister Sean Kwali, Black Power, and Black Power to all of you in the radio listening audience here on Black Power Radio. As I am well familiar with you all, as I have served as the national chairman over the New Black Panther Party for over 12 years and 15 years, and still here down with this party, the New Black Panther Party, and the movement, with great respect here to Minister Sean Kwali, my former national spokesman, now the new national chief of staff of the New Black Panther Party, and to my former national chief of staff, now stepping up strong in this hour, the national chairman of the New Black Panther Party, Minister Hashim Nzinga. And so, yes, my dear brother, I'm fine. I'm feeling good. I'm happy to be on, eager to take questions from you and others here where we had called and still should call the Black House briefing room.
It is that, sir. It is that. Welcome back. We're always honored to have you on. You know, this is home. We want to get right into it because you are pushing forward on the campaign to build Black Lawyers for Justice. Tell us a little bit first how it started for those who are listening, the new listeners in the audience. How did Black Lawyers for Justice start, and what does that mean?
Well, I want to, before I get to Black Lawyers for Justice, I want to let them know that Malik Zulu Shabazz, where is Malik Zulu Shabazz? And I need everyone to know, from wherever perspective you're listening from, that Malik Zulu Shabazz is on the front lines for the liberation and salvation struggle of the black man and the black woman. Malik Zulu Shabazz, in the course of this hour where I will speak to you, is still on the front lines organizing for Pan-Africanism and for black nationalism, still on the front lines organizing for the fight against the police, the rabid police department, which is out of control all over the hills of North America, still directly on the front lines and moving in a way where my career is now evolving in the way that Allah sees fit and has already been predestined before I was arrived. It was predestined before I arrived that I would arrive at this stage in my career. And so I don't want any of you in the radio listening audience to fear. Don't fear for the new Black Panther Party and its future. Don't fear that the warrior lawyer, your chairman that you love so much, have abandoned you on the battlefield. Don't fear that at all, sisters and brothers. Be patient with me in this hour. Be patient in this hour, and then we'll have a talk. So you will know that the new Black Panther Party is in good hands and will be stronger than ever. I will personally see to that and give you my personal oath and my personal certification, as long as they follow my guidance that I laid out well for 12 years and will continue to advise into the near future. So I don't want anyone to worry in this hour as we move forward on the battlefield, forward to new frontiers, all over the planet Earth. So I need to know, before we start talking legal talk and Black Lawyers for Justice, I need my core constituency to know, the black nationalists, the Pan-Africanists, the revolutionaries, to know that Malik Zulu Shabazz is not changing direction. Malik Zulu Shabazz is directing change. And that will be the base that I will open up this conversation on, and then now explain to you why I have decided, and that while I must and I had to, and it was a red light emergency, that I take charge of my post as an attorney at war in the hells of North America, that it was a mandatory red light emergency for the black nation as well as me in my personal life. But it is going well, my dear brother. The fight on the legal front, it's really the same fight, though. You see, the fight against the police is the fight that the Panther fought in the 60s. The fight with the laws, and to have the laws enforced and to be backed up by the Second Amendment law, and to have these constitutional rights, whatever they may be worth, under what is called by my mentor, Dr. Khalid Abdul Muhammad, what is called white law, to fight for those rights, fight for the right for self-defense, fight for the right to organize. That was at the core of the Honorable Dr. Comrade Huey P. Newton's campaign and the campaign of the early Panthers. It was the fight against police brutality, the fight for self-defense, the fight to use the legal rights to defend our people. And so my work right now is in that vein and in that name, but to the extreme sense, in the sense that I am, have passed that threshold where Dr. Huey P. Newton wanted to go. He was trying to get his Juris Doctorate. He was in law school, but he never quite made it to pass the bar and to practice law. I'm talking about Huey P. Newton. He wanted to get to that level. So what am I saying? Right now, that this fight is a serious fight against police brutality. It is not a fight that's going to be won with rhetoric. It's not a fight that is going to be won with online posting, though all of that must be used. This is a real fight that our people are facing, and I have strategic skills to help educate and infiltrate and litigate against these enemies, against our people, and also organize other attorneys who are against this brutal rage, this brutal outbreak It's like a disease that's broken out all across the nation, and I'm talking about racial profiling, police abuse, police harassment, and stop and frisk. And so where I am, my dear brother, in Black Lawyers for Justice is organizing other attorneys who are down for this fight, experienced in this fight. Some of them have been in it longer than me, talking about powerhouse all-star attorneys like Attorney Greg Latimer, Attorney Donald Temple. These are some of my mentors, others of my colleagues, Attorney Reginald Green down in Atlanta, Attorney Mawuli Davis, the warrior lawyer down in Miami, Attorney Anitra Ashakur here in Washington, D.C., Attorney John Turner, others. These are my comrades and my allies. Back into the days of even 1998 when I was voted Young Lawyer of the Year. So I need you to get the drift of what I'm saying, my dear brother, and for the audience to get the drift. I haven't left my political ambitions just for legal ambitions. But what I'm doing is bringing my legal artillery to the battlefront to fight where I have not been able to fight because I have been 100% consumed and dedicated with following up on the legacy of Khalid Abdul-Muhammad and fighting the political fight, the organizing fight, and organizing all that I've been blessed to lay the foundation for. But I need you to know that a leopard does not change its spots. And so now that as I'm moving out on a broader front, that's just one broader front, on the legal front, and it's taking up all my time, my dear brother, to be very honest, because this is a skilled battlefield. This is a battlefield that is won by reading and research and writing, and it's not just a lot of hype. It ain't just a lot of talk, and it's some goddamn opponents and people out here that I'm fighting. I'm talking about big Korean grocery store chains that hire Uncle Tom goons on the front of the stores and on the store floors that tackle and brutalize and harass black people while Korean slave master who's making, who's waxing rich, whose store shelves are overflowing right now. All of this is going on and is where I'm at here, out here on this legal battlefield, dealing with these police, filing suit against these police, getting inside information and documents on these no-good bastards and pursuing and putting pressure on their goddamn lives for what they have done to our people is where I am operating right now. And so it is a period of growth, development, intense warfare, something that's necessary at this time. And because it's necessary, as I conclude, and preordained at this time, then it's also ordained that you all take up the political fight, the main parts of the political fight. And the part of the political fight that I will undertake is the organizing of a Black United Front, which is what I preached in the Panther Party for 12 years, the organizing of a united front. But I couldn't do everything at the same time, it can make you ineffective at some things. So it's necessary and divinely necessary that a new chairman, a new chief of staff, a new administration come to birth, that there be a shakeup here, that there be a rebirth, a renewal, a refocusing, a shakeup and a wake-up in this Panther Party, and that the Panther Party meet the challenge of it and survive. And I'm here to advise and help you all to do just that. But I also have to go to a higher level and fulfill the words that were written by Dr. Khalid Muhammad. He told us in several speeches, many times, but particularly in his 1995 epic speech, the day before the Million Man March, he said we must have an OAAU, an organization of organizations. An OAAU, an Organization of All African Unity, an organization of organizations, or a united front, based on the root principles of what black consciousness, black nationalism, pan-Africanism, black liberation theology, and a black power. And so as I've been meditating on this situation, my dear brother, similar to the way Minister Malcolm X had to take time in his transition And similar to the way Minister Khalid Muhammad had to take some years and time in his transition, I have been meditating on exactly where God wants me to go. And so the building of a united front is a sign. September 7th, the Million Youth March, all the great leaders that were blessed to come out to the march and to the 15-year anniversary in Harlem, I thank them. But that is a sign of the work that I have been able to do and that we were able to do, but it is a sign of my mind that I have possessed since Unity Nation, which is the uniting of our people in a united front. And so right now, I'm meditating on Africa. I'm meditating, really, more than just meditating on Africa. I am going back to Africa. And there is going to be a worldwide Pan-African convention in June of 2014, worldwide Pan-African convention. And I'm charged as one of the co-chairmen of the entire convention and as the leader of the delegates in the Western Hemisphere, as it is being spearheaded by the Pan-African Congress of Azania. And so because this convention is coming, it's because I'm spearheaded with at least rousing 100 leaders from the Western Hemisphere, from America and the Western Hemisphere. It is also bringing a larger role beyond Black Lawyers for Justice in the legal fight. Yes, my primary fight right now is fighting the legal fight here in America, fighting and building an organization of attorneys and fighting and dealing with this white man and also becoming the warrior lawyer in the mold of Johnny Cochran and Chokwe Lumumba and all of those that went before me. Yes, sisters and brothers, I have that burning desire in me to devote my time in that direction. I ask you, be patient with me and you will see great results. And many of them are coming forth now, my brochure and the booklet, What Black People Need to Know When Dealing with the Police. And I'm speaking all over. I'll get into that in a moment. But I also let you know that I'm busy about getting back to Africa and that the United Front is developing in an organization of organizations. And I'm serious about fulfilling those words of Dr. Khalid Muhammad and organizing a coalition called the OAAU, the Organization of All African Unity. Now, Minister Malcolm X had the Organization of Afro-American Unity, which he took from what? The OAU, the Organization of African Unity. All of it is similar. But to me, as I continue to meditate on it in this hour, it brings about a certain kind of work that I think is for my level of work now in the movement. And so I can envision at the table of a united front in an OAAU, I can envision strong, incredible leadership like Minister Hashim Nzinga, the chairman of the Panther Party, and the bold National Chief of Staff, Minister Sean Kwali, and there are some great ones. Damn right, in this new Black Panther Party that definitely would be part of a worldwide body of leadership that meet, and some of it's public and some of it ain't going to be on this radio and have nothing to do with this white man, ain't going to know nothing about it at all. And really, I'm not even going to speak too much on it tonight because this is not no new organization or something. This is about real leaders and men getting together and executing the plans of our people. It ain't got no chapters and membership. It ain't open to everybody. It's invite only. And so this is something I'm meditating on, dear brother ministers. I envision Black Lawyers for Justice side by side with the new Black Panther Party, side by side with the Nation of Islam, a select group, strategic men and women from the Nation of Islam, select group from the Garvey Movement, select group from the Black Power Cartel, General Sutan Seti, Brother Polite, who I'm very close with, despite the rumors, I'm very close with Brother Polite, getting closer to Brother General Sutan Seti, have much respect and good relations with Umar Abdullah Johnson and others. Others that Minister Hashim Nzinga knows would be great part of an organization of organizations, or OAAU. I have now a network of attorneys and judges and good relations with people who really believe in our people all over the country. And so just in a word, and I ain't going to say too much more on it, besides seriously digging in and building up black lawyers for justice and going toe-to-toe with these police and these Koreans and these other people that are attacking our people, I am building a united front. I am going to be following up on all the good work that have been done out here on this battlefield across America, and I damn sure am going to be getting back to Africa. And there's a big convention in June, 12th through the 20th, big convention. I'm looking for 100 up out of America. And the last, I know it's a long-ass answer, pardon me, but I ain't been on here in a while, and I'm happy to be on. And I do want to make one disclaimer so I don't forget it in the course of this broadcast. I am not Malik Shabazz from Detroit, Michigan, who is shamefully and despicably in Black Panther uniform supporting Mike Dugan as the mayor, as the white mayor of Detroit, Michigan. I must say that on behalf of myself, and I'm certainly I speak for the new Black Panther Party, that an individual has been seen supporting Mike Dugan, which is strange as hell, and I'm getting emails and calls from across the country. But everybody already knows, but I must clarify for the record, that I am not Malik Shabazz from Detroit, Michigan. In no way, shape, or form would I ever be caught supporting no Mike Dugan supporting a devil like this for mayor of Detroit, Michigan. And so I deny that is not me. I'm certain I speak for the Panther Party. He's not a member of the new Black Panther Party. He is, and I, in fact, denounce him. I, in fact, denounce him for committing those acts in the name of this movement and in the name of my name. I officially denounce him. Malik Shabazz from Detroit, he's dead wrong and damn wrong and should be ashamed of himself for supporting just to get a few dollars and a few pennies from Satan's table to support this gentrifying mayor over the city of Detroit and publicly in Black Panther uniform. Okay, now that's the conclusion of my long answer.
It's all good. You gave us a lot there. Talk to us a little more. Now, you're speaking on the great Johnny Cochran, of course, you know, the great Mayor Chokwe Lumumba. Of course, we can throw in there the great revolutionary Fidel Castro. All of these are attorneys, and all of these are revolutionaries, and now you have taken your rightful place. You've been a revolutionary attorney, and you're heading Black Lawyers for Justice, for those that don't know. Tell us a little more about the role of the attorney in a revolutionary sense. We see the attorneys on TV shows. What is the attorney's role in a revolution or in the United Front or and what we're doing, the attorney.
We need more lawyers that are down in the struggle that we can rely on and go to. We don't have hardly any or many, and therefore it has hurt the struggle. It has hurt our battle in police brutality, my dear brother, because many times when the families when people or brothers are killed by the police or injured or harmed by the police, when the family gets a certain kind of lawyer, that lawyer will then begin to block out the black nationalist. He will begin to squash, crush, or alienate the nationalist. And this has been a painful part of the new Black Panther history, as many of those who are in office and veterans for this fight know, that you will be for the Brandon McClellans, you will be for the Katherine Johnstons, you will be for the Trayvon Martins, you will be for the various victims, and you will be there first and the strongest activist, the most committed and dedicated, and you should be welcome. Many times there's a Caucasian attorney or a black attorney with a Caucasian mind or just a weak attorney who does not know how to deal or accommodate the Panther Party or work with the Panther Party, knowing that the Panther Party being on the case or the nationalists being on the case or the radical being on the case will add heat to the case and fire to the case, fire that case up. And so most of the time, brother, we just haven't had the lawyers or the legal network until now. But now that I'm able to supply that void in specific, that I will be the lawyer in on the case, like my dear warrior lawyer, attorney Benjamin Crump, and C.B. King down in Georgia, who are doing a great work. And so now that I've been able to raise you all up politically and in the liberation front, let me step over here and let me help these families directly. Let me fight these cases directly. Let me get up here on the inside and depose these police directly, and I won't push you out, push you to the side, dish you and deny you. You see, so we getting in now. We gonna take over, the hell I'm telling you. We, this us, man, we family. What you got to understand, if you can broaden your mind and comprehend this thing, but you got to see this thing from up high, like Heru or the great birds of Egypt that are pictured on the walls of the hieroglyphics. When you up high, you can see the big picture. And some of you, and for those that have traveled this country and been in this movement and know this thing from up high, you can understand the language I'm talking to you about right now, man. We're talking about, you know, what role is the role that I have in the struggle is almost, as a lawyer, to a degree, it's going to be as strong as y'all make it. Y'all got to rapidly, in the new Black Panther Party, for example, you have to rapidly get beyond the reform level, which is good. You must reform everything. Get back to the manual. Get back to the core building and the chapters and get back to the core of this thing. But as you get back to the core of it, then you will rapidly see what kind of fight you in and how valuable you are and how you need it out here with these police and all of this. Then we can work together. You see, this become revolutionary when my booklet is in the hands of all of the Panther Party, and the Panther Party is pushing legal education in the booklet all over the streets of America and recruiting for your local meetings. So I'm Black Power, I'm Brother So-and-so in this city. Our meeting is Wednesday night at 7 o'clock. Here's also information from our warrior lawyer, our attorney, our former chairman emeritus, if you will, attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz. He's teaching you on how to deal with the police and so forth. And here's also some more information from our national headquarters and our central committee. This is what they want you to know also about the Panther Party. It's a recruiting tool. It's an educating tool for you. What I have for you, but you just got to be ready for it. I got the football, but you got to be ready to run with it. So I got legal education that could revolutionize the Black nation by us working together and educating the people with my booklets. And the booklets and further booklets I got coming out and websites I have coming out that I'll share with you all and you all can use on your sites and use my booklets along with your materials. Then we get back to that core Pantherism. So you're back at that core Panther, educating the people and got program for the people. You know, now if you ain't got a program right now, see, I got a program for you. It's already supposed to be your program, which is to fight police harassment. So you can't just only fight police harassment by showing up at the rally when somebody killed. You got to get out here on the streets and educate the people about what's happening with the pigs and how to deal with the pigs and keep the pigs out of their cars and their houses and out their pockets and how to beat this racial profiling. And I got the materials with you. And you can even make a couple bucks off of it. You see, so this is what we make it, I mean, on a certain level, from the level of this radio show, Brother Sean. This is some tangible program. This is part of a Panther program that they could really use. Legally educate the people and get out here and educate the people and deal with these police. Now that can be done right away. That can be done faster than you can go to the store and get some turkeys and all of that stuff. You know, and so What is the role of the revolutionary attorney? Brother, that's what I'm building with the new Black Panther Party and other community groups now working with the information to get it out on the streets. That's number one. Get it out on the streets. Educate the people about the police and what they're doing. I'm filing class action lawsuit in Washington, D.C. soon against the D.C. police for violating the human rights and the civil rights of all of its Black residents to support gentrification by just jumping out like wild cowboys. I'm recruiting 10 to 25 victims. Holler at me if you will. I'm attorney.shabazz. That's my email, attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com. I'm taking action. Okay? So, I mean, that's just in general. I'm taking action against these police. I'm putting information out that's going to change the landscape. If we work together, then we put information out that changed the landscape. Minister Hashim and Zinga and I have talked about putting out the video and all of that, about specially designed videos that teach Black people about dealing with the police. See, that's right up in line with the legacy of the Panther Party and the mission of the Panther Party. That's high-level Panther work. Okay, so you got legal education, you got the class action lawsuits trying to change the law in Washington, D.C. You know, I'm suing several other police departments right now close to either trial or some kind of conclusion out here in federal court in Prince George's County, Maryland. On December 7th, you know, I need you to understand that Black Lawyers for Justice is political, because I'm political, duh. So anything I deal with will be political. Now, there's a unity, the Black Lawyers for Justice and the Black Studies class of Washington, D.C., on December 7th has a major, major program we got at the Prime Church in Washington, D.C., and it's called Confronting the Crisis in Black Washington. Confronting the Crisis Facing Black Washington, D.C., The Demise of Chocolate City. That is our subject on December 7th, and the flyers will be out in a couple of days. It's Black Lawyers for Justice and our allies. Am I still on?
Oh, yes, sir. I said that's strong. Yeah. That's a strong message.
Hey, yeah, between Black Lawyers for Justice and our allies, the Black Studies class, which is manned by the Nation of Islam and MBUF. And it was also be heavily pushed, and on the panel will be the new Black Panther Party. The Minister of Justice, Imam Akbar, is key in on this program. Now, our expected attendance is a minimum 700, meaning that if we don't get 700, we're going to be unhappy, because right now, as you have so clearly pointed out, that gentrification is a problem, and it is a problem all over America. And so now that I'm kind of my root is a little firmer here, and I'm not in so many other cities, guess what? Ground zero here is my own city. And what a ground zero city this is. This is ground zero for gentrification. Washington, D.C. This is ground zero where I was at Howard University. This is ground zero where the House of Representatives is at. Ground zero where the Senate is at. Ground zero where the FBI is at, where the CIA is at, where the White House is at. This is ground zero in the United Snakes of America, right here in Washington, D.C. And so it really is a hell of a place to operate out of as a national base for anything. And I heard a rumor that the Panther Party Summit was going to be here next year, but I don't know if that's true or not. But I will say this, on December 7th, I will be, and it will be a live webcast, on Confronting the Crisis in Black Washington. I will be keynoting. I will share the rostrum with the Minister of Mosque number 4 here, Minister Farrakhan's trusted stalwart and his representative and ally in this area. I'm talking about Minister Qadir Muhammad and those from Mosque number 4. Attorney Anitra Shakur will be on the panel from Black Lawyers for Justice. Also, Attorney Gilda Sherrod Ali, Malik Farrakhan, the legendary youth activist from Ceasefire Don't Smoke the Brothers, will be on the rostrum. The controversial youth activist Ronald Moten, well known here, will be on the rostrum. And Edward X from the Black Studies class here, Brother Phillips, Sister Kumar, Brother Jonathan, and the other greats, Michonne, and the other greats here in the Black Studies class, we are teaming up to not just complain about this problem, but we're going to launch the opening steps of a mass movement to try to stem the tide of the demise right here of Chocolate City. And so we got a panel of experts out and freedom fighters. This city needs unity bad, black man. This city here is the dry bones, the scattered bad, and like many of your cities, this city is dead as hell. And so I'm honored to really be back in my hometown on December 7th. This is just some of the work. It's a similar work, black man. It sounds familiar, don't it?
Oh, yeah.
It sounds familiar because it is familiar, and it's still a sign of the work that all of you organizers should be doing throughout America. Whether you're in the Panther Party or another organization, the kind of organizing I'm talking about, as I conclude this answer, mass meetings, on the streets, educating the people, tackling cutting-edge issues, studying and reading and bettering yourself. This is what Malik Shabazz is doing and what I'm inviting the other organizers to do. Prepare for Africa. Don't just talk about Africa. I'm giving you a chance now to participate in a worldwide convention. You should begin saving and preparing and bettering yourself so you can make that hajj and make that journey. And so this is kind of my role right now. I'm fighting on the legal front, and that's going to produce immediate results, and it's also a training period for me because I've got some cold-blooded lawyers out here to compete against. This ain't a field. It ain't no damn joke. So I got to spend damn near days and nights sharpening my axe, going to war against some of the best in the hells of America. But also on a united front level, I've already matured in that level. I've matured to the point where I certainly can advise the Panther Party. And so I advise the Panther Party to follow this leadership, follow the orders and the commands you get from Minister Hashim Nzinga, Minister Sean Kwali, Minister King Samir Shabazz, and the other leadership here that I have appointed and selected. Follow them and obey them and get all your reports in quick, fast, in a hurry because big things are happening all across America and across the globe, and you want to be up on fast time and quick moving. You don't want to be on slow time now because I'm not on slow time, and we are going to be at the apex of this battle to free the black man and the black woman of America. And so my advice is to the Panther Party, follow your leadership, get it together, kind of quick, fast, in a hurry, so you can be part of a broader and a bigger battle that's going to be going on. And I'm getting the same signs from all around the world, Brother Sean.
Yes, sir. You worked and working with Attorney Benjamin Crump, and you reported to us a couple weeks back about what's happening with Brother Kendrick Johnson and his family there in Valdosta, Georgia. We talked tonight about Brother Ryan Singleton out of Atlanta, Georgia, and he was found right outside of Las Vegas. Same case, his organs was missing, just like Brother Kendrick. Can you kind of tell us what's going on with Brother Kendrick Johnson, that case that you're working there, and what's your take on these young black males that are being found dead and their organs are being missing or taken?
You know, to be very honest with you, ever since the white man have encountered us in Africa, the white man against the black man, it have been like a cult or a sadistic orgy of violence against the black male. So to an extent, nothing has changed. And that's a sad state of affairs in America. You know, one way or the other, or another, they have always been fascinated with our organs, and mainly our main or reproductive organ. They have been fascinated with cutting it off and fascinating with what it can do and how it can bring about their demise. And so what I say, my dear brother, the case of Kendrick Johnson I'm more familiar with. And, you know, I do believe, certainly, that there has been a cover-up in this case. I do believe that the facts will come out. I do thank God for Attorney C.B. King and for Attorney Benjamin Crump for being hard on the case and staying on the grind. I also want to thank them in general just for representing the black attorney in this hour. But, you know, I just pray to God that when the results come out of who really killed Kendrick Johnson, that it wasn't another black man or black youth. You know, that would be the tragic irony of it all. You know, so now in terms of the organs and all of that, that's very suspicious about his organs being taken out of his body and his body being stuffed with newspaper. And I'll have to see what is the results of the challenging of the coroner's inquest before I comment further on that. But it's just awful suspicious. And all I can say to it is that I'm glad we got the right men on the job. The U.S. Justice Department has opened an investigation into the case under duress, and we'll see what that results in. I don't know what happened with the other brother. I do know this, that the black man and the black male is dying too young and too often. You know, now as attorneys and lawyers can help, mainly after the fact, meaning after you done died at the hands of the police, we can help you sometimes. After you done died at the hands of your brother, it's almost of another black man or woman, it's little that the lawyer can do. So what I'm saying is the problem of the deaths of black male, whichever way they die, however sick or sadistic they dying or however routine, according to the regular and average scheme, they're dying. All of our efforts collectively, everybody that's conscious and capable on this phone, have to be dedicated to the preservation of life of the black male and to young black men. And that has to be at the top of our list. Otherwise, we hypocrites. Because I can sit up here and talk about the police violating our rights and organize to fight against that, encourage to fight against that, encourage the outrage against that, and turn up the temperature against that. But you also have to understand that, brother, we are well aware that in too many instances we are our own worst enemy. The black man and the black male of America today, after having been robbed by this white man for 500 years, we were not our own worst enemy to this degree 550 years ago. Not to this degree, but we are today. And now we can put a stop to this. And so I just say to all of the questions, as attorneys, we get to the bottom of it. We want to investigate. We want to find out. Certainly, I'm looking to find facts out on any of these cases. Certainly, any of these strange deaths and killings and obviously police murders, yeah, I want y'all to give me a call. I want y'all to call my office at 202-434-4528. Call Black Lawyers for Justice. Call my law office, 202-434-4528. Attorney.Shabazz@yahoo.com is my email. Attorney.Shabazz@yahoo.com is my email. And I want to know, and I'll do the best I can to help, you know, but this is a collective fight. I want to try to take some questions from the audience because I know we are 940.
Oh, yes, sir. We're running strong. And the number to call is 646-478-4447. We're talking to Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, President of Black Lawyers for Justice, and we're going to take your calls. And our brother attorney, tell us real quick, what's your thoughts on Sister Renita McBride, the sister that got her face blown off in Dearborn, Michigan, seeking for help? Did you hear about that case? Your thoughts?
I need some facts on that case, to be honest, black man. I mean, I hate to hear that happen. Face blown off by who?
You're asking that. They say it's by a it's in an Arab area, but they haven't released his identity yet, so I don't know.
Brother, let me just say this. I need to get some facts on that, but I want to tell you this. America is wild as hell. There's everybody killing everybody out here right now, okay? It's a black man going in the Navy Yard and shooting everybody up. It's a white man that breaks loose in the mall shooting up everybody. I mean, black and white across America, everybody is killing everybody. And it is a time of great chaos, and it is a time that is written of in the scriptures, and it is a very dangerous hour in America. This is a very dangerous hour. It's no playtime, and you can lose your life out here in a minute in the United States of America. So I'll be happy to hear about it, but, you know, it's just killing everywhere. It's black on black, black on white, white on black, white on white. America is crazy as hell in this hour.
Yes, sir. We'll go to the phone line. Your area code here is 718-773-718-773. You're on live with Attorney Malik Shabazz and Black Power Radio. Give us your question. Your question for the attorney. Please welcome Black Power.
Hey, God bless you, Malik. How are you?
Hey, fine, fine. God bless you. Who am I speaking with?
This is your sister, Icy.
Hey, Queen, how you feeling?
I can't complain. I'm happy on your new endeavor. I'm happy you didn't just, you know, leave us abandoned. I'm happy to see that you're doing big things. And I'm happy to hear God in you, you know, because what you're saying is right. Like, this is not the time to play around. And if we don't, you know, if we don't stop playing and get things right and turn to God, because, as you said, there's little that we could really do after the fact. I mean, because you don't know of anything until after the fact. But if we begin to pray and speak the word of God in our communities and to our people, there should be a major change. But
you know what, my sister? First of all, I'm happy to hear your voice. And I will say in a word that, and now I'm free to say this. I'm free to say that, you know, it's the spiritual. Be very honest, my sister. It is the spiritual way that is going to help us to make it all the way through. It is the spiritual way that is going to strengthen us politically, going to strengthen us legally, and all of that we're talking about, to be very honest, in my judgment, in my estimation, but it is the spiritual way, and it is the leaning and the understanding of this way towards divine and reliance on divine and calling on our God and obeying our God that is what is going to help us get through in this hour. And so you know what I'm talking about.
Sir,
you're very well aware, and this is a key time for you, sister, to prophesy.
Amen.
Time now to get out here and raise your voice and prophesy. And, no, I'll just say before I take the next question, prophesy and organize.
Yes, sir.
Bottom line to it. Prophesy and organize. But this here is a modern Babylon. It is a modern Sodom and Gomorrah. It is a nation that is under divine judgment. And all the truths remain the same. We are a sheep that have been lost.
Yes.
In this house. And there are so many sheep out there that have been lost out here in the ghettos of America, that there are not enough preachers or ministers or Black Panthers who really know the time and what must be done that can go out here and help these lost souls out here.
Yeah.
Now I'm saying we have a people out here that are hurt.
That's right.
People out here that are broken. People out here that have been through a lot of pain in their life.
Yes.
You know what I mean?
Yes, sir.
You got serious problems here in the black community, and it's only going to come almost through the help of God.
That's right.
You know what I mean? I mean, you can feed, you can give them a political program. But if you don't have a spiritual program ahead of your political program ain't going nowhere.
That's right. That's right.
You know what I mean?
That's
so,
right.
God bless you, sister, and all of those who are into the theology and who are into healing and saving souls, because there are a lot of hurt souls out here in the black community that need a lot of healing, and there needs a lot of love that needs to be shared on a daily basis.
Yes.
I talk to you. May Allah, may God bless you, sister, and you keep preaching, okay?
Thank you. No problem. I love you, sir, and anything you need, I can help you with. Please let me know.
I'm going to give you a gift, sister. You get with me. I got 100 scriptures I'm going to slip to you that I want you to use, okay?
Okay. Thank you.
I got 100 scriptures I want you to use. I think you can work with it, all right?
All right. I appreciate that. Love you.
Love you, too.
Okay. Love you, Minister Sean.
All right. Love returned always, fella. All right. Thank you so much. We'll go to the next caller here, Eric Cole. It's area code 215-982-215-982. You're on live with President of Black Lawyers for Justice, Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power Radio. Come on with your question and comment. Welcome, Black Power.
Black Power, Black Power, Chairman,
Black
former
Power.
Chairman, and Sir Attorney at War. This is Brother Hoodie, Philadelphia, to tell you I love you, brother, and thank you for all the work that you've done. You know, with us, for us, and are still doing. You know, and we, as the Mid-Atlantic Regional Representative, want to extend all of our support for you and your Washington, D.C. endeavors, and throughout this region, we will be supporting you. We will use you, you know, hopefully to build a chapter, a strong chapter in Washington, D.C., we will be there on December 7th. I'm listening to you and all of the police misconduct and gentrification and genocide that's going on and political corruption. We need to be proactive in that. We must organize the people and strategize and mobilize. And with your help, I know that we can do that. I talked to Minister Akbar. He had informed me about December 7th, and I'm sure with the support of our national committee, you know, we'll be there and we'll be building in a strong way, sir. And we with you 1,000%.
All right, brother, I love your spirit, and I respect you a whole lot because I know you love our people and your dedication and your respect for me. It means something, you know. And, you know, it's kind of like, I mean, for lack of a better analogy, it's like Bill Clinton and Obama. You know what I mean? Obama's in power, but Bill Clinton, he's still around helping the party. You know what I mean? And
yes,
so,
yes.
You know what I mean? I'm still very emotionally attached to my family. See, y'all got to understand, y'all are my family. The emotional attachment is not going to go anywhere. You know, the names and the labels may shift around, and the roles may shift around. You know, but the love is the same, man. We're family in this battle. So we will see you, dear brother, on December 7th. You're more than welcome.
Yes, sir.
Mr. Akbar needs help in reestablishing the new Black Panther Party in Washington, D.C. under his leadership. And then there's work to be done in Philadelphia, to be very honest. There's a lot of work to be done in Philadelphia. So, basically, what it is for you, dear brother, is your time to elevate your game. You know, it is your time for your leadership to shine in your city and your region, and you know, that's what I look forward to seeing, sir. You know, I just look forward to seeing all of you brothers and sisters who serve under my leadership. Now that it's a new change in the guard, I'm expecting y'all to gain more yards, score more points, make more sacks. You know what I mean? That's what time it is, you know. Everybody's got to have their game on. And part of having your game on, man, we wish we had more time to go into it. But anyway, you just got to have your game on in every way. You got to have your personal, I'm not speaking to you specifically, I'm speaking in general, even to myself, but I'm certainly giving advice to the revolutionaries in the new Black Panther Party. In order to have your game on in this hour, we got to have our personal game on, our family game on, our relationship, which ain't no game. The relationships right between your wife or your husband, your personal life got to be right, your economic right, life got to be right, your self-employment right, your job rights, life got to be right. All of these lives have to be right so you can be in shape to fight right. You know what I mean? And none of that, all of that come really before your manifestation on the rostrum, before your big time stepping out suited and booted or suit and tie or whatever it is, whatever sets you from, Nation of Islam, New Black Panther Party, whatever. We talking about all them core things that you and I know got to be lined up right so that everybody can elevate their game. So I'm looking forward to you coming up. And all of you others coming up with your game right and with our game right from our personal lives, our economic lives, our family lives, our career lives, and, of course, our ultimate career, our revolutionary lives. So when we meet the people out there, they can really believe in us as their leaders. You know what I mean? Because we got our stuff together. Yeah. And that's where it is right now. This is a great time for me, brother, be honest, of self-improvement. This has been a great time for me of the last 60 days of self-reflection, of transformation, self-evaluation. You know, well, some people say, well, man, he got it all together already. Well, I can understand you saying that. He got it all together already. But, brother, there's always so much higher, so much deeper, so much stronger. A way a man can go. And so, you know, and I'm just saying, and if you can look at yourself, if you're not arrogant, you know what I mean? And if we're not arrogant and can look critically at ourselves to improve ourselves, then we really will grow. But you can never grow as long as you think that you have made it or that you are all that. You know? And so may God bless you in your journey and every other young brother or sister or older brother or sister on this phone in our continuing journey towards maturity so that we got to be strong so we end up strong fighters in this fight. Love you, Black man.
Love you more, Black Power.
I'll see you soon, man.
Yes, yes. I'll be there on December 7th with the applications.
All right.
All right, Black Power. Appreciate you, Brother Ruth. Appreciate you so much. I got time to a couple more calls here. Area code 973-295. 973-295. You're on live with Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power Radio. Come on with your question, your comment. Welcome to the broadcast.
Black Power, Sonny, Brother Malau.
Black Power.
Well, first of all, I was glad to hear Brother Malik. You know, I was with him a couple weeks ago. But anyway, I'm actually calling out the imams and all the imams' chairs to come out and step up to help the new Black Panther Party and also be a part of the new, as well as the Black Lawyer for Justice. We have to understand that Prophet Muhammad was a revolution, and that was the only way that he would overthrow Mecca. So we have to come behind the holy walls that we call the churches for every corner that is church, for every corner that is imams' chair. So I'm daring all the imams, the reverend, to step out and man up and to stand together with the police brutality and the racial profile where our brothers and sisters' body parts are getting missing. Where are the ministers, the great Carter man of God? Where are the imams? I'm calling you. I dare you to step out. You call yourself imams and preachers. Come out and help us fight against the pressure who all these pressure going on Black people. In fact, I would like to see all of them down in Washington, D.C., supporting Malik Zulu Shabazz, Black Power.
All right, that's Brother Bilal. He is the East Regional, one of leader of the New Black Panther Party, one of the key leaders in the East Region and the leader of the Eastern Region. Obviously, you have the National Field Marshal, King Samir Shabazz, and Minister Zaid Muhammad there in Newark also. Let me say this, dear brother. For those of you who are on the web or on the internet and you want to continue to participate or hear this conversation, I think I'm correct in saying call 646-478-4447. You must call this number in the next couple of minutes to stay on, because it will go off the internet but will continue on the telephone. Am I right?
It's correct and exact.
646-478-4447, so we can continue the conversation. I appreciate your comments, Brother Bilal. You know, I just say that if you organize right, the right people will have enough pressure on them where they will have to support you. So in most cities, I would say if you just organize right and step up your organizing game, you will get the support you deserve, you know. But right now in the black community, you got to earn it. They want you to be there for them, and they want you to be consistent. If you're there for them and you're there for them consistently, they will respect you, and you can earn the support. But the support is there in every city in America. They're looking for some activists to fight. Go right ahead, sir.
That's true. Next caller, your area code is 504-432-504-432. You're on live. Black Lawyers for Justice President, Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz. This is Black Power Radio. Come on with your question. Black
Hello?
Power. Kind of hard to hear you, caller. Go right ahead. Area code 504-432. You there?
Can you hear me?
Okay, we can hear you now.
Hello?
Go ahead with your question.
Okay.
Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz.
Yes, Attorney Malik Zulu-Shabazz, I want to say this. I knew you can't be everywhere around the nation. Do you think, I mean, like members in the New Black Panther Party, whatever group that you're in, do you think we should get, I mean, like if it's a strong attorney who's not afraid, do you think we should get behind him if he wants to work with the revolutionaries? Do you think we should get behind him or behind him?
Yeah, I mean, depends on what he's doing. I mean, if what he's doing is worthy getting behind and he don't mind you being with him, like if he's fighting some kind of case that's important to our people in the city, you should get behind the case and the cause. And the lawyer is supposed to be the representative of the client and to make good decisions and strong decisions to represent his client in the best way. So I would say that, you know, if the attorney welcomes your support, then you should go where you're welcome. And, you know, but some of them are very conservative. You know, I can't say that as an activist or from my knowledge of other activists that we have had great experiences with most attorneys. That's why I have to give more attorney services because, man, you know what I mean? Some of them are some scared to death goddamn attorneys, man. Straight up, man. I mean, I've seen
right.
some brilliant attorneys, but they we just need encouragement. And I think one of the things that I'm going to do in this field is provide some encouragement for some attorneys to be a little bolder and a little stronger. But I say all means, brother, if it's a strong attorney in your area, back him. I was taught by Dr. Khalid Muhammad that in every movement in the city, you had to have a certain amount of people that you was connected to. You had to have a bail bondsman that you were tight and in close with that you could call when you needed the bail bondsman. You had to have some lawyers. You know, believe it or not, Khalid Muhammad and Dr. Khalid Muhammad and Johnny Cochran were close, you know. Mm-hmm. In Los Angeles, California. So you really got to have some lawyers. Now, if y'all don't know them, then what I'm going to be doing, again, is building a network of attorneys that we can go to, and some of it you can go to for your other matters.
Mm-hmm.
Because they're going to be wanting, you know, because you're down with Black Lawyers for Justice and me, and if they get you through this referral network, you know, some of y'all need help with just basic matters. I mean, some of you need help with will, some of you need help with estate, some of you need help with child custody, some of you need help with whatever, criminal defense, personal injury, corporate business matters, entertainment contracts. I mean, there's a variety of legal services that's needed in the Black Nation, and there needs to be a network where brothers and sisters can go and not get beat, where they can go with somebody they can trust, you know? And so that's the kind of network I'm working on building. It's not going to happen overnight, but I got some of the strongest attorneys. I got a network right now of at least 20 lawyers and about 30 personnel total right now. And so it's going to take some time, but I would like y'all to bear with me. I got some law students, law student out there named Sister Tina Hassani Muhammad in Iowa, Drake University law student. She's right now working hard building Black Lawyers for Justice, website and all of that, as she already represents the Nation of Islam Law Students and Legal Association. And she's helping me build a cadre of law students that want that are doing research. Like all of the cases, I can't do everything at once. All these killings and cases coming across my desk, I'd be lying to y'all saying I can read them all in one day. That'd be too much. That's why I'm building an organization. Now, the law students that believe in this work are taking on the cases that come across our desk and come across Black Lawyers for Justice, and they are doing a lot of doing the research, are going to be doing the research to get people the answers that they need. And we're also going to be providing self-help legal services soon. And so you know, all certain things you don't always even need a lawyer for. Certain kind of wills and estates, bankruptcy and things like that, certain basic matters we're going to begin providing the public, the Black public, our people, self-help legal tools. Like I'm giving you self-help legal tool on the police, I'm going to give you self-help legal tools on dealing with certain contracts and wills and certain actions that you can take care of yourself. Mm-hmm. All right, Black man. So
yeah, I like to get one of your booklets too on dealing with the police.
If you'll give me my website is blfjustice.org, www.blfjustice.org.
Okay.
You will wait till Friday. A new booklet is going up. And the new booklet was my revised version of my original pamphlet. It's a new revised version I got coming out. All you got to do is go up and download it and get right to work. You know, that's my first booklet. And the next one that I'm working on in the wings is The Black Man's Guide to Child Custody, because the show needs that. Yeah, Black Man's Guide to Child Custody and Child Support. And it'll be a lot deeper than you think. And the third one that I'm coming out with right away after that, and I'm working on it now, is the Black Man's Legal Guide to Self-Defense and Gun Ownership. The
nice.
Black Man's Legal Guide to Self-Defense and Gun Ownership. Because it's too much ambiguity or lack of knowledge on what the rules are in what states, and the Black man needs to know what all of his self-defense rights are, not only with the gun. He needs to know the gun. He needs to know what he can carry and how he can carry and in what states. He needs to know all of the gun laws that need to be broken down for him, for the Black man. And he also needs to know his basic rights of self-defense and how to stand his ground and under what circumstances he can stand his ground legally. And so that's what I'm working on, Black Man Guide to Child Custody and Child Support, Black Man Legal Guide to Self-Defense and Gun Ownership, and the fourth one that I have in mind in this series is the Black Youth Guide to Sentencing. And I should say before that, not just the Black Man's Guide to Self-Defense, I'm sorry, sisters, but the Black Community Guide, Legal Guide to Self-Defense and Gun Ownership. And then the Black Youth Guide to Crime and Punishment. The Black Youth Guide to Crime and Punishment, because there's far too many youth committing offenses and not recognizing the length of time or the seriousness of the offenses or how it's crippling them for life, and they're messing up their careers, their jobs, and everything doing dumb stuff early. So as I get these pamphlets and brochures out, I'm certainly going to be looking to work with you and brothers like you across the country to get the information out. And I'm trying to get these other attorneys on board with me so that they're going to push the books as well. I just have to put their name on it. I mean, many of them want to push my book. So I can just, as long as hell as I put their law practice and information on it, on the back of it in their jurisdiction, and I got a deal. So things are moving, man. Things are moving around. Things are moving in this arena. But I really, really, in conclusion to this question, I really want to help. I'm passionate about giving us legal education in the black nation. You know what I mean? It's a lot of people going around giving just random legal information and trying their best in different movements, some of it good, some of them just making up stuff. But I really want to give credible, solid legal information that organizers and activists like you can have and use for your own benefit. I'll take the next question because I know we passed the 10 o'clock hour.
All right. Thank you so much, Carla. Appreciate your question. We'll take here area code 971-506. 971-506, you're on live with Attorney Malik Tulu Shabazz and Black Lawyers for Justice. This is Black Power Radio. Go ahead with your question, Black Power.
Hello?
You're on the air. Attorney Malik Tulu Shabazz. What's your question? Yes, go right ahead.
Can you hear me? Can you hear me? Hello?
I'm on the phone.
I think that's all the questions there, Brother Attorney. That's all the questions we got. Office.
All right, Black man. Well,
closing statement here.
Well, it's been a great show, and it's been great to be on. And I just say the road is not to the swift, Black man, but it's to those who persevere. You know how it goes. So I look forward to talking with you soon. You there?
Absolutely. I'm still here.
Yeah, I'm going to talk with you soon. Me and you talk about Africa, you know, offline. We'll talk about Africa, you know, and about just moving on to strong things. May God bless you, brother, and I'll talk to you offline.
Okay, sir. May God bless you, too, and all that you do. Everybody that's with you. Peace.
Black power to you.
Black power. Brothers and sisters, this has been Attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz, president of Black Lawyers for Justice, and you know him as our former national chairman, New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense. And as always, he's bringing that information. And again, that website is blfjustice.org, blfjustice.org, to get that latest pamphlet and informational brochure on the Black Man and Woman's Guide to Do when stopped by the police, and others to come. We're going to arm you with this information, as he was telling you, as we're out in the community. But we want to know what to do when stopped, because many of us is talking too much. And so we're going to get that information, and we thank you. And, of course, we'll update you on when we'll have our brother, the great, great, great Dr. Marcus Mosiah Garvey Jr. on, son of the Honorable Marcus Mosiah Garvey. And next week we'll have our national chairman on, who's going to deal with some straight business. He told me he's going to deal with straight, some real straight business, pantherism, next week. He's going to get down to it. And so Black Power Radio is great. It's been beautiful as always. Keep the family of Kendrick Johnson in your prayers and your salutation. Keep our brother Ryan Singleton's family, who was found in Las Vegas, in your prayers and salutations. Keep our attorney Malik Zulu Shabazz and Black Lawyers for Justice in your prayers and salutations, and Brother Benjamin Crump in prayers and salutations, and all those that are on the front line, our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzing, and all of us. Keep us in your hearts, minds, prayers, and salutations as we do this work. And we work to make a difference in the community, and we work to re-educate ourselves and re-educate our people and make ourselves worthy before the great, great, great creator. I'll take one more call. I think we got a last caller here. Area code 404-951, 404-951. You have a question. This is Black Power Radio. Welcome to the broadcast.
Yes, sir. Black Power, how you doing?
Black Power.
I was listening in when Brother Shabazz was talking about they got attorneys that do kind of other issues, and I got a legal issue that I need. I just what happened. I'm looking for an attorney, and I'm in Atlanta, and I'd like to get a number for possibly some attorneys that I can.
Okay.
Concerning child visitations and stuff like that.
Yes, sir. You're right on time. Call this number. Let me know when you can write it down.
Prepare to copy.
All right. It's area code 202.
202.
Yes. 434-4528. 4528. That's what you need.
Yes, sir. I've been listening in, so.
That's the number that you need, or you can email them at attorney.shabazz.
Attorney.shabazz@yahoo.com.
Those are the two ways
okay.
to get him right now. And he's ready. He's ready to take your calls, ready to take your case. You heard him. He's active. So he's the brother
yes,
to
sir.
Do it. Yes, sir.
No doubt. And I really enjoyed just listening to this, man. It's real informational, and it's very encouraging and motivating. You know what I mean?
Appreciate that.
I'm a veteran, and the one reason I got out of the military because of the slave mentality that they want you to have, and I'm not fit for it.
That's right, brother. That's right, Will.
And I'm just recovering from being paralyzed from the neck down, and now I got back mobility, walking with a walking cane and all that. And I really want to get active, and I was just sitting there listening to it, like, well, how would I be able to be active without having all my physical mobility back,
You got mind, you got heart, you got spirit. And so mind,
right.
heart, and spirit transcends physical reality, brother. And you know,
right.
so
it's just like
with anything, just like with being a soldier and your legs or limbs get blown off. They don't stop you from being a soldier.
Right.
You still
got
a mission.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So don't
let that. Though, bro.
Well, God and the ancestors are with you, brother. And
with
the proper dietary and training, you'll make a recovery. And so I'd say stick with us, you know. Stick with us. Take down that information. Our website is newblackpanther.com. Newblackpanther.com.
Mm-hmm.
And then our email is New Black Panther Headquarters
@gmail.com.
New Black Panther Headquarters @gmail.com. So between those two emails and that information, brother, you got enough to get up and set a blaze in Georgia. You got enough to make a difference, and you a veteran, so you're already a soldier, and they recognizing you on Veterans Day, but I recognize you as a veteran of the Black Holocaust. We paid a hell of a cost in the hells
about.
Of North America, brother.
Right, that's for
yes.
sure, man. Because I'm not from that. That ain't my DNA. The way a lot of these brothers getting down, you know, I have and blind, really being blindsided, and like you said, too lazy to put up that fight. You know, we got to fight when it comes to each other against each other, but when it comes to that white man and the wickedness in his system. Really, it's a slave system. We don't have that fight.
We got to talk with each other.
Then when it's time to come to court, you don't want to bear witness with me, women. I got to go to work. You know, you witnessed it. You don't want to come to do that, but the white boy get you in court and witness.
Right. Minister Malcolm X say, brother, he said they send you into Korea and you bled. He said they send you to the eyes of the Pacific and you bled. He said, but when it comes to defending your own, a little black girl's getting bombed in churches or something happened to us, we ain't got no blood. But we got some lives and we got some spirit and some drive and some organized today, brother. So you stick with
I
us,
like
black
it.
Man. And you stay yes, strong there in Georgia, brother, and protect them youth as
yes,
best
sir.
You can because they snatching young men's organs out their body. But brother Kendrick Johnson.
Yeah, I've been checking it out.
Yes,
I'm
sir.
It out. You know, they killing these women. Men, these women. And these kids like they're at the grocery store.
Yes, sir. And so they got to be a defense.
Yes,
they got the Honorable Dr. Khalid Muhammad taught us that when caskets roll on the other side like they roll on this side, that's when you put a stop to it. So there's got to be a defense. There's got to, whoever's doing that got to know. I'm just telling you, whoever's got to know that in self-defense, that if you harm us, it's reciprocal in self-defense. So.
Right. Equal force. Yes, sir. Equal force.
Yes, sir, brother. Yes, sir. Stay strong, brother. Use that information.
Yes, sir.
Get that information over to our attorney, Attorney Malik Zubashabaz, for your case, and we hope we can be of service to you.
I appreciate it. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you so much, my brother. Black to you.
Yes, sir. Black power.
All right, brothers and sisters, and so that concludes another broadcast of Black Power Radio. Again, our website, newblackpanther.com. newblackpanther.com is the website to go to. If you need to email us a question or you have an inquiry or any of that, be sure to go to New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. One more time, that's New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. And again, to call us, if you're calling us, you need to get in touch with us, like our brother, who just needed to get in touch with us, got some things going on, be sure to call us at the office. We do have an office number. Okay, I don't know if a lot of you all know that, but we have an office number. Call us. I'm trying to make sure I'm saying it right and get it to you right. I had to get that to you. I don't misplaced it myself. But call us, but email us, New Black Panther Headquarters at gmail.com. We will get the other information to you about, yeah, there it is. Thank you. Area code 347-903-0886. 347-903-0886. That's the national office number for the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense that was given to me by our great and illustrious Minister of Information, who got me the information on time and right as I need it. So there you go, brothers and sisters. We thank Attorney Malik Zubashabaz, Black Lawyers for Justice, who was on the case fighting for Kendrick Johnson and so many others and fighting for you. We thank our national chairman, Minister Hashim Nzinga, and all of our staff and helpers in the New Black Panther Party for Self-Defense and everything that we're doing to help our people. We will increase our efforts. Our chapters will grow and our programs will blossom only with the support of you. Brothers and sisters, remember, it's black power for black people, and we give all power to the people. And remember, if black people are not free, nobody's free. Black power.
She was magnificent. They don't have to say to white people, I'm better than you.